Our next speaker is going to focus on the state issues, the state perspective, specifically Maine, on emergency department for preventable dental conditions. And Sally Sutton has a background and expertise in public policy and administration and social work. She's currently the senior policy analyst at the Cutler Institute for Health and Social Policy at the Muskie School of Public Service in the University of Southern Maine. But she hasn't been in academia her whole career. She has spent 20 years as an advocate for civil liberties and access to justice, and then joined academia, where she's focusing more on the analysis and review of laws and regulations related to public health and health policy issues, and most recently on work specific to health workforce issues. So join me in welcoming her to the podium.
Thank you. Good morning. I wanted to start with where Maine first got into this, and this is the result of a study that was done in 2006 in response to a committee that was established in Maine that wrote and developed the state's health plan, and they were looking at ways to reduce costs, and one of the things they were looking at ways was to reduce emergency room costs. And what came out of that was that dental disease rose to the top of the reasons why people sought emergency treatment in the emergency room, and also rose for 15 to 24-year-olds, and rose to the top as the top reason for people who had 4-plus visits. And for these main care members, the ones who are age 15 to 21, those people do have access to dental services. So you wonder why is that such a problem? And then if you look at the adult population, for age 25 to 44, dental disease was at the top reason and was one of the fourth highest for those who had multiple visits. And then compared to people who are privately insured, and these are people now with dental insurance, but with private health insurance, dental disease was not even one of the top. And again, if I'm giving a state's perspective here, I think, you know, you can't talk about states without talking about politics. And this was some very good data that this group produced, which then led to the study that I was involved in. But this committee no longer exists, and we no longer have a state health plan. So those are all very good reasons in terms of why we need to elect the right people. So that's my little speech right there today. Thank you. So then as a result of that, we had, and one thing we like to do in Maine a lot is to study things. If we don't know how, if we can't get to the problem, we at least continue to keep studying it. So we try and, you know, try and move forward or at least keep some attention to it. So there was another group that was set up that was to look at emergency department, and we also looked at outpatient claims for Maine Care members, broke it down by people under 21 who had dental services, people 21 and over who did not have it, and we also looked at privately insured and uninsured patients. And as we were doing this quantitative analysis, we also were doing a qualitative analysis, both looking in Maine and outside of Maine in terms of what are the solutions that work for keeping people outside of emergency departments. So I don't think you can start any presentation like this without first referencing the Surgeon General's report about how important oral health is, and so there's that statement. In Maine, there was a study that was conducted primarily through United Ways, and again, there was no prompting for this, but access to dental care rose to the top as listen to this, one of the most important far-reaching actions that could be taken to improve their health. So people spontaneously were coming up with that. Maine, 39% of the population and 520,000 people live in dental professional shortage areas. We have a lack of dental providers or dental providers who will see Maine Care patients. Maine Care is our Medicaid. And I think this statement, you know, says it in many ways. This 29-year-old woman in 3 weeks will lose the rest of her teeth, not just all of them, just the rest of her teeth. So how many has she already lost? and she doesn't have money to pay for dentures. So again, I think that perfectly states, you know, the major problem that we're confronting here. Maine Care, in their annual report to the legislature, themselves recognize that the supply of dentists in Maine is inadequate, the reimbursement rates are inadequate, Maine Care participation rate is low, and even for children there are mixed rates. So then what did we find? We found that looking at both emergency department and outpatient settings for relief of dental pain, Maine spent $6.5 million for Maine Care members, $2.4 for those under 21, $4.1 for those over 21. And I mean, that's just a lot of money that should be spent elsewhere. And I think this helps also put it in perspective. One of the things that we looked at is, and I think it's important, it's a little bit beyond what others on the panel are going to talk about, but emergency departments are not the only place that people go for treatment for relief of their dental pain. They go to their primary care providers, as we see from the data here. And again, you know, they're not receiving definitive care from those providers. They're still only receiving, you know, the antibiotics or the pain medicine. So there's a lot of money being spent outside of those emergency departments. And so, again, this is areas that, you know, are costs that we need to make sure get recognized, but also might present opportunities for us to try to explore as we're looking for ways to address this. Can we work with those providers, those primary care providers, on some of the solutions that might present themselves? And then I just wanted to put it in perspective of what we spent for outpatient and EDU, $6.5 million, which is a fraction, I mean, a quarter or so of what gets spent on dental services in Maine generally. And if you look at the overall Maine Care budget, $2.5 billion, which makes up, I think, about 40% or so of the state's overall budget. So even though we're talking a lot of money, it's still a very small fraction of a $2.5 billion budget. And for those to be dollars that aren't well spent, you know, that's just also a crime. There are a couple other pieces of data that I want to throw out at this point, again, just to show you that we're spending even more than what's reflected here. And all of this is in my report, and there are lots of tables and more data in there. But so we spent $6.5 million on dental emergency department and outpatient. Uninsured people in Maine for this same service has spent $2.9 million. Private insurers, and again, these aren't dental insurers, spent $4.8 million. So we're well over $14 million for non-definitive dental care. And Maine Care for adults spent $9.7 million. And, you know, mostly what that covers is pulling teeth. So, again, we're spending a whole lot of money on care that, you know, isn't really servicing people the way it could. So as I said, Maine Care adult members are not covered, and which is why they seek treatment from emergency departments and outpatient settings. Maine Care members have expressed that access to dental coverage is, you know, one of the most important far-reaching actions that could be taken to improve their health. I have to say that again. The dental force and workforce in Maine is not evenly distributed. The limited number of dentists. The number of dentists who see Maine Care patients is small, and the number of Maine Care patients they see is even smaller, and the number of them who will see new Maine Care patients is even smaller than that. And that although, you know, we've talked about increasing reimbursement rates, we haven't done that yet. There are other things that need to be done to encourage providers to see Maine Care patients. Within Maine, Maine Care is doing a lot to remove the administrative barriers that exist, you know, address provider concerns about no-shows for appointments, and to implement best practices, and to work with the Dental Advisory Committee in the state to figure out potential solutions. So from our report, we had a number of recommendations, and it was a group of people that had people from the state Medicaid office, the Maine Dental Association, advocates, oral health program, you know, pretty much everyone in Maine who has an interest in oral health care were members of this group. And we reached our recommendations by consensus, which, you know, I think was a very important step, because that also meant that this report was to be delivered to the legislature, and the director of the Maine Care Services was going to have to go in front of the legislature and say, we need to cover adults and we need to increase reimbursement. So that would have been a pretty gutsy thing for her to have to get up there and do. And so we recommended legislative language that says, you know, specify preventive and restorative services that the department determines by rule are most likely to reduce avoidable future expenditures to the program. And to back that up, we did come up with a set of preventative and restorative services that we would recommend be carried through in terms of rule. So again, I think that was a very gutsy move for the Maine Care people to be part of it and to recommend that. We for the millionth time in Maine, recommended that the reimbursement rates be increased, and, you know, they'll be recommending that again this year. Maine Care also has a number of services that they do to work with providers to encourage that they take more patients and to do follow-up. And all of this is in the report and in the handouts, but mostly wanted to just conclude with that it's really a local solution. I mean, there are state efforts, but what we found from our work was that it took a hospital and a dental clinic, or a hospital and a dentist, to work out between them what the local solution might be for the emergency department visits. And maybe you won't catch that person the first time they go into the emergency department, but if there's that arrangement that's made, they'll be able to follow up with it. And the other thing I wanted to say around workforce, as was mentioned, I spend a lot of time of my work focusing on health workforce issues generally, and I think in a lot of places the dental people aren't part of those overall discussions, and there are a lot of resources within Department of Labor and other places for apprenticeships and on-the-job trainings that are available to train a range of dental providers, and these are good jobs for people, and it's a way to get some resources into it, and it's a way to get, you know, another group of people paying attention to dental workforce needs. Thank you.